Welcome to the On Fifth Podcast, a weekly discussion on key trends in economics and investment policy from some of the world's leading commentators. This episode looks at the role of blockchain technology in solving some of the most pressing issues surrounding access to finance, particularly for infrastructure investment and global trade. I'm Ben Robinson, Deputy Head of Research at OnFIF, and I'm joined by SV Sukumar, Senior Advisor at Zinfin and former partner at PwC and Head of Strategy and Operations Consulting at KPMG. Zinfin is a blockchain-based platform which aims to reduce the vast inefficiencies in trade finance and infrastructure investment, and is also OnFIF's blockchain and technology partner for the 2018 Global Public Investor Report. Welcome, Sukumar.
Thank you.
So the ability to match buyers and sellers at low cost and with minimal time delays is really fundamental to the development of a healthy market. And without this, inefficiencies can multiply as funding needs go unmet and investors are unable to deploy their capital as they would like. Two areas which currently suffer from such inefficiencies are trade finance and infrastructure investing, issues of huge economic importance, but where high costs and complexity, lack of information and outdated legacy systems create significant bottlenecks. New technologies based on blockchain could offer huge potential in this regard. So let's take trade finance first. More than 80% of trade depends on some form of trade finance, but there is a gap of around $1.6 trillion annually that goes unmet, much of it in developing countries. So, Sukumar, what is causing this and what effects is it having on reducing the overall level of global trade?
Very good questions. Actually, if you look at the cap of 1.6 trillion, most of it, in fact, if I'm not mistaken, the entire thing would, the suffering parties would be the medium and small enterprises, because they are the people who find it difficult to get the finance. It's well-known fact, and it is even recorded in World Bank, that SMEs contribute 60% of total employment, definitely in the developing world, and they contribute up to 40% of GDP of the emerging economies. So it is utmost important that this segment is really supported if we have to grow the economy in the developing world and even in the developed world. All these institutions, whether they're big or small or medium, they need finance to run their business, and they need finance in a very available and affordable way. So what makes it available and what makes it affordable is the key. I see the gap or the issues could be due to three factors. Are there enough lenders to these people whom I call them as borrowers? Are there enough lenders? Is there any marketplace where people are willingly to join there and then say, I will give the finance if you show me your business case type of work? Today, I feel there may not be enough of those networks. And there may be several reasons for that. One of the reasons is a trust factor. The second factor which might come in for the gap is to get a strong business case to get the finance. That means every lender will have to look at the creditworthiness of borrowers, or in this case, MSMEs or a business. Is it good enough? Is my money safe enough with these people? Can they ensure the return of my lending to them, etc.? So that is the second issue. And that again depends upon how much they can trust the business case of the borrowers and how much known factors, their background of their business and the people who are running the business, etc. The third, of course, is a very clear case of knowing the business and taking the very considered decision to rent. So there may be all these three problems are there, but central theme to this problem, it finally boils down to lenders' trust on the borrower. So where does this trust factor comes? The trust or the lack of trust factor comes. It is about the transparency. And certainly if the transactions or the level of transparency is not good enough, then the cost of lending goes up, because the lenders say that it is riskier to lend it to such and certain companies. Therefore, I need to increase my interest rate. And that gets into a vicious cycle. If the interest rate goes up, the viability of the business comes down. If the viability of business comes down, more number of NPAs get in, and that will force these lenders to increase their interest rate further. And so it gets into the vicious cycle. So central theme is, how can we create a trusted marketplace, trusted network of marketplace? So the two factors get addressed. But the third factor is all about, is the business worthy enough to be lent? No technology can address it. It is a business call that everyone will have to take care of.
I think that's a very good explanation of what the key issues are, what's caused them, and how they are affecting businesses. So my question to you would be, how can blockchain technologies alleviate these problems? It might help, first of all, if you can briefly describe the technology itself and then comment on how it can overcome these trade finance barriers.
Sure. I'll try to put it in a very simple layman language so that it doesn't get complicated beyond reasonableness. So the blockchain technology has demonstrated capability to address issues pertaining to trust and transparency. Let me tell you as to how it is. The true potential of blockchain lies in the immutable distributed ledger. The ledger maintains cryptographically secured transactions and data records through a series of blocks connected to each other. No one party can modify the transactions, thereby maintaining the integrity of the network and the data. The blockchain allows peer-to-peer exchange of digital assets without an intermediary, thereby replacing traditional third-party verification. So in essence, this is the characteristics of the blockchain. And if you really analyze it closely, this addresses the central theme of the earlier question that you have asked about the trust. The trust of, you know, is it a very genuine transaction or the collateral document which is being shown, is it already double financed? Is it something worthwhile, etc.? So that is about the technology. Today, 80% of the global trade is supported by some sort of financing or credit insurance. Using blockchain, enterprises can be assured of transparency through audit trails and immutability, thereby reducing risk of fraud to a very great extent. If the issues pertaining to the trust are addressed to a great extent, no, I'm not saying that there will not be any risk at all. Every business will have some risk. But if it can be addressed to a great extent, the credit risk issues drastically comes down. From the point of view of, you know, genuinity of the transaction or the genuinity of the collateral documents, etc. So addressing the trust issue holds the potential to convert a vicious credit cycle to a virtuous. So we believe that blockchain is a leap step forward towards addressing this issue, even if it is not going to address the entire issue, greatly reduce the risk of that.
So really, it boosts the transparency, which lets you know the kinds of risks that you're getting into. It allows you to analyze it more clearly and therefore reduces the cost, essentially.
Absolutely.
So then post-crisis banking regulations and rules, including KYC and AML, have also played a role in reducing this trade finance, particularly in emerging economies. And again, as you mentioned, this comes down to the areas of information and transparency, risk, and in particular, the enhanced due diligence requirements that have really reduced the corresponding banking networks in emerging economies. So really, how do blockchain-based smart solutions help address these issues of transparency?
So in a way, we have addressed it in our previous questions, but let me tell you, this KYC and AML issues will remain forever because, in fact, you know, it existed before blockchain and it will exist now and it will exist forever. If anything, the rigor of KYC and AML regulations will only go up and it's a good news. Therefore, the lenders or the entire business community are sure that the finance is not used for illegitimate purposes. The aim is to prevent a network of regulated financial service companies being used for illegal activities, and there are penalties for non-compliance. Therefore, KYC and AML has nothing to do with blockchain per se, and blockchain is not going to eliminate that. However, the method to get this KYC done and AML compliance done can be made easier through blockchain, which I'll explain a little later. So if we come back onto the blockchain, it is a shared ledger of digital contracts and digital assets. Movement of digital assets require ledger balances to move, and this has been successfully demonstrated for payment and settlement processes. Similarly, a blockchain-based identity registry can remove the duplication effort in KYC checks by each participant. Cryptographically encrypted distributed ledger can be shared with all financial institutions in real time, and thereby reducing the lead time or reducing the effort to a great extent. The KYC ledger can also provide a trail of compliance activities pertaining to each client, thereby forming comprehensive record of evidence mandated by the regulator. So the KYC space is enormous risk, and blockchain is being evaluated as a plausible solution to streamline the process in a very transparent and transparent manner.
Those two issues that you mentioned are really key here, the compliance issue and the due diligence issue. And again, one of the consequences of having quite complex rules in these areas is that there are vast amounts of paperwork that companies have to fill when they're doing international businesses. And these paperworks are associated, or at least the paperwork associated with trade and infrastructure financing, is a major complication and a significant added cost. So how can blockchain technologies reduce these burdens? You touched on it briefly, but if we could go into a bit more specifically on the paper trail, and again, how this distributed ledger can help these companies.
So very good questions. Let's first understand why paperwork is important in the transaction lifecycle as values are exchanged. The paperwork is maintained by all parties for two major reasons. One, as proof of contractual commitment. Two, as proof of regulatory compliance. Contractual commitments are made between two parties, and each of them hold a copy of the executed agreement as proof to prevent different interpretation of contractual terms. A set of regulatory compliance needs to be maintained for taxation, audit, transit checkpost, and financial reporting, where a copy of the document is considered as the legal and binding on all properties as proof. All parties involved in any trade wants to comply with contractual commitments and regulatory compliance, and hence need to maintain copies of relevant documents. Blockchain-based smart contracts are immutable and cannot be forged, unlike paper trail. Delay in physical movement of the documents can also be reduced due to high trust quotient in the participant network. Contractual business logics can be coded and deployed that are automatically executed upon fulfillment of the conditions. Documents can be cryptographically stored with need-based access to the intended recipients. Documents can be digitally signed and processed through automated workflows. Immutable nature of the ledger minimizes the need for storing and moving physical documents. This cannot happen on standalone basis. Some countries embracing digital transformation and blockchain will play a key role in building the trust.
So as you mentioned, the paperwork is a vital part and you're never going to get rid of it. It's not so much how blockchain technology will reduce the need for paperwork, but how it will reduce the burden and make it easier, make compliance more clear and so on. So I take the point. Shifting the focus slightly then, post-crisis capital requirements have reduced the market making and capital intensive activities of banks, which is creating a greater need for non-bank intermediation in long-term balance sheet intensive activities like infrastructure investment. So how can blockchain technology help to provide finance to projects that the banking institutions are now unable to take up?
So a marketplace where beneficiaries, suppliers, and financiers trust each other is the foundation of discovering any global project, whether it is for working finance or is it for capital project or is it for infrastructure project, etc. This is the crux of this. Strength of this network will grow exponentially as transactions are performed and trust is reinforced time and again. Yeah, lender carefully evaluates the project feasibility as well as institutional credibility before taking any informed lending decision. Project feasibility is a function of a whole lot of criteria, and blockchain has limited role to play here. Blockchain can, of course, enhance transparency on institutional credibility through immutable audit trails and transaction history. This can minimize lender credit, resulting in lower cost of capital and hence improving feasibility of the project. Trusted global environment for contracting, payment, and settlement will not only improve ability of unbanked projects to be picked up by banks, but also any other financial institution, and even communities and retail investors can also get in. This opens up newer opportunities and plays a key role in virtuous business cycle being powered for growth in global commerce. In fact, this is the right time for me to introduce that we have in Zinfin developed a TradeFinex platform to drive this in a regulatorily compliant manner.
I think just to give a bit of context as well, this is a huge issue. There's a global infrastructure spending gap of around $1 trillion per year until the year 2040, and this has a range of very serious economic and developmental consequences if that gap is not met. And it's particularly troubling because investors are very keen to access exactly this kind of project. The mismatch comes because they face significant difficulties in finding suitable projects with the desired characteristics or in sufficient scales in which to invest. And it's this mismatch which was a real concern. And as you were just highlighting, the difficulties of getting non-banks to fund these projects, their banks can't fund themselves, is a huge issue. So clearly it's something very important, and a development of technologies to fill this gap is something that will be important going forward. And you mentioned the platform that you are creating yourselves. So just on that point then, what are the legal and regulatory or any other barriers that there are to further developing and adopting these new technologies?
In fact, we strongly feel that there are not any legal or regulatory barriers to adoption of blockchain as a technology. On the other hand, we only see governments after government coming and saying that let's adopt blockchain. One of the confusion in many of the laymen or business community at large is that they generally confuse blockchain with cryptocurrency. Yes, there are enough cautions being given by the central banks of various governments, various countries about cryptocurrencies, bitcoins or any such cryptocurrencies, as they fear that it may be getting used for illegal activities, or it might even pose risk of their fiat currencies being exposed or for money laundering, etc. So it's only a suspicion. And more and more governments are looking at it, and more central banks are looking at it carefully. And more they look at it, more regulations will come in, and then they will come out with what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. But one, all of us will have to understand that blockchain is not cryptocurrency. On the other hand, cryptocurrency is only one of very many applications that blockchain can give. So blockchain can be actually used for several business applications without having to use cryptocurrency. If there are central banks and if there are countries where they have blessed cryptocurrency, yes, it can be used for a legitimate business purposes. But if that is not allowed now, but yet, you know, blockchain can be leveraged for the business purposes in a very, very effective and efficient way. So in our opinion, there are hundreds of applications that blockchain can support. If it is not used for tokenized or a cryptocurrency-based application, it can be used for several other applications, including checking the data privacy or KYC, etc. So to summarize, we don't see any barriers at all for adopting blockchain. If at all there is any barrier, I personally feel that it is a lack of understanding of blockchain or lack of awareness of blockchain is bigger barrier for adoption of blockchain than anything else.
That's exactly right. That's the point I was going to make, is that it shifts the focus then away from the legal and regulatory background and much more puts the focus on the coordination, as well as the lack of information, perhaps the misunderstanding. And then really that shifts the focus on how to address these issues. In your opinion and with your background and experience, how do you think that this lack of coordination and the lack of knowledge about these technologies can be addressed?
One of the prominent ways is the people like you to promote a newer technology, make the business communities to understand what are the pros and cons and where it should be adopted, and where if adopted, you get the maximum advantage, et cetera, et cetera. So basically, it's a distributed ledger technology, and it was used in financial industry as a payment and settlement mechanism. Then government has started taking note of the advantage of this, and then they are promoting, et cetera. Moment government starts pushing implementation of that in their own government processes and government area, the others will definitely understand the strength of this and also move into this area.
So as far as you're concerned, does the real burden fall on the government and the public sector or the private sector? Is it up to them to push this through and develop it? Or what is the relationship between those two areas, the public and the private sphere?
So I wouldn't say that whether public sector or government should do first and private will come, etc. Wherever there is a need, wherever there is advantage in adopting this new technology called blockchain, I think they should do it. And in my opinion, they will do it the moment they understand there is a huge benefit for them. So in our opinion, the evaluation criteria that needs to be applied before evaluating whether blockchain or any other technology is followed: building the trust, transparency of data shared among the network of participants, and the validation consensus that help them to increase the trust level in the network. That's number one. If that is the requirement, yes, a movement towards blockchain is a must. If you want any prevention of fraud, no one party can modify or should modify the transaction, thereby maintaining the integrity of the network, then this is the answer for that. Is there any need to reduce the cost of transaction by minimizing intermediaries? Blockchain offers a tremendous opportunity to an extent that no third party is required when there is two transacting parties are involved in this. Enable payment and settlement seamlessly on a real-time basis without having to have a third-party mediation, then this proves to be the best technology. And if there are a business application or information applications where there is a shared data access is required, this gives a wonderful opportunity to give a shared data and including the privacy and yet transparency. So that, these are all the criteria in my opinion. If it happens to be in the private sector, I think they should move. In my opinion, financial sector will be forefront of adopting this. And second, in our opinion, it is actually industry agnostic. Wherever there is a transaction intensiveness or wherever there are multiple parties coming together to transact a business, this is very much applicable provided the trust quotient is maintained. So that is the advantage of looking at blockchain. And in my opinion, more and more awareness gets built around that, this will get adopted.
So you mentioned the tremendous opportunity that exists, the huge potential. You also said that it's industry agnostic. While that may be true in the application of this technology, I wondered which industries or institution types have been most active in implementing the technologies, whether they're agnostic or not. Where has the greatest development of it been? And where is the potential greatest? Who should adopt it? Who doesn't currently adopt this blockchain technology?
So blockchain technology, I was telling you, wherever there is a transaction intensiveness, it can be in the travel industry, or it can be even in the FMCG industry where there is a huge amount of transaction and there is a huge ecosystem of players coming together and transacting business. So it's a question of identifying which are the sectors which, if adopted, where there is a huge amount of payment and settlement is taking place and there is a real time without intermediary payment and settlement should take place, I think this will come, in our opinion, it will come. Yes, the first and foremost application would be anything related to trade finance because it's an immediate low-hanging fruit for many areas of the industry, many areas of the business.
So then beyond finance, really anything from supply chain logistics to the travel industry, as you mentioned, energy systems, and really many others, that's a very broad range of industries and companies. So looking ahead, how disruptive or transformative could blockchain technology be in these industries in the future if it is widely adopted?
We strongly believe that there will be high level of blockchain adoptions in trade finance and infrastructure funding area. Blockchain holds to offer transparency and minimize credit risk in the entire process. We at Zinfin have developed TradeFinex platform for connecting beneficiaries, suppliers, and financiers. Our team is working on short-term working capital management solution that will be integrated in the main platform. Our team have also started work on integrating legacy ERP system with blockchain technology to further streamline operations. We have already received several inquiries for TradeFinex platform due to its ability to process end-to-end transactions and powering settlement using currency of user's choice.
So then finally, what case studies can you highlight where these technologies have provided successful solutions to the types of financing problems that we've been discussing here?
So while core banking systems may not be displaced overnight, peripheral applications are finding blockchain adoptions faster. Invoice financing and factoring has now started happening on blockchain in a small way, and it will only catch up. Buyer, supplier, and financial form part of this trusted ecosystem. Ownership of the invoice is transferred digitally in the shared ledger and payments are released and updated in the same ledger. Real-time visibility not only prevents double financing of invoices, but also allows real-time settlement in primary and secondary markets. We at Zinfin are working on finance lifeline to MSMEs. In addition to this use case, one of the use cases that we demonstrated for multi-billion dollar European company is reducing cost of financing using blockchain technology. We demonstrated how a trusted network can be established and funding requirements of the organization be met using blockchain technology. Any bank may have at least 50 plus peripheral applications on top of core banking system. Most of this ultimately stand to be disrupted using blockchain technology before blockchain even displaces core banking system.
So we've covered a number of important developments in global finance, particularly around infrastructure funding and trade finance resulting from these blockchain technologies. And the legal and regulatory background and also the potential future development of the market is something that OMFIF is strongly engaged in. Our most recent coverage of these issues is available in the 2018 Global Public Investor Report, where, as I mentioned, Zinfin are our technology and blockchain partners, and which is available on the OMFIF website. So Sukumar, thank you so much for your comments. We hope you've enjoyed the podcast and really you've provided us a lot of thoughts about how this market is going to develop in the future and what the impact has been. So thank you very much.
It's a pleasure talking to you, Ben.